Thank you, Jeanette. Wonderful. Hey, that first song, you just summarized my teaching. I thought I could just leave, you know? But everything that Adam lost, Jesus Christ regained. We have access now to God in the Savior's name. And everything that Adam broke, Jesus Christ repaired. We share in his victory. We are his joint heirs. What a terrific song. And so that really blessed me. Now we can all go home. But I guess I should fulfill my responsibility.
We want to hear it.
Oh, you do? Okay. Well, then take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. By the way, thank you, Ron, and thank you, Chris, also. It's a wonderful thing how we work together. And I probably should also thank Julie for the wonderful refreshments that she does every Sunday. We're so blessed with that. You guys that phone in, you can't get that, but oh well. So anyway, and you know, the manifestations just bless me so much today. They always do, but I don't know. On some days, it just seems like, man, oh man, those messages are just what I need to hear at this moment in my life. But 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, it says, "Now beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Gosh, couldn't that be written today? I mean, just think about, you know, as you read on, I am of Paul, I am of Cephas, I am of, you know, I'm a Methodist, I'm a Presbyterian, I'm a this, I'm a that. You know, and really what we are, we're all sons of God. We're all believers in the one true God. We all have Christ in us, the hope of glory. We're all born again of God's Spirit. You know, we're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. What a wonderful thing. And, you know, if we talked about that, that would be good. So I'm going to talk about some of that, because I think that would be good. After all, if it's in the Bible, it's got to be good, right? Verse 17 says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, the good news, not with the wisdom of words," not coming up with a new word salad each week or whatever, "lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." It's the, you know, it says the preaching of the cross. That's a figure of speech. You know, some people have taken this literally and they make sure they have crosses all over the place. And if they want to do that, that's fine with me. But it's talking about what was accomplished by way of Jesus Christ laying down his life and dying on the cross. "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?" Yes. Yes, he has. "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God." You know, by worldly wisdom, you cannot know God. "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Somebody has to speak the word. Somebody has to preach it. once you hear the word, then you can decide whether you want to believe it or not. But if you've never heard it, then you can't make that decision. And that's why those of us that know what the word says, we need to speak it. We need to tell folks about it. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. And again, that emphasizes that he laid down his life. It emphasizes that he paid the price. And we're going to look at some more of that as we go through this morning. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, because, you know, they were consenting unto his death. They, in fact, somewhat promoted it, you know, saying, crucify him, crucify him. I think it pretty well, you know, promotes it. And unto the Greeks, foolishness. They don't, the Greeks, they liked their idols, you know, they liked this idol and that idol, and, you know, you can't see God. You can't, now you can see Jesus Christ in your mind. You can see what happened with his crucifixion and all that kind of stuff, but you can't see God. You can't see spirit. You can't taste it, touch it. You know, you can't put it under a Bunsen burner and analyze it. You know, spirit is what God says spirit is, period. How would we ever know anything about spirit unless it was revealed to us? And who reveals it to us? God. God has revealed to us about spirit and spiritual matters. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Judeans and Gentiles, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. So terrific. Because the foolishness of God, look at that. The foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And everything that men can get together and muster, you know, look, just think about this. The foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. Maybe the strongest thing that men have done is these nuclear bombs. You know, it's a strong destruction is what it is. But think what kind of power it took to put all this together and make it out of nothing. You know, I mean, they couldn't even do a nuclear bomb if God hadn't made those atoms that were U-238 and U-235 or whatever they are. I used to know a little more about that. But, you know, God is the one that put that stuff together. And all they're doing is puncturing just a little bit of it, and look at all that power. Well, think of the power of God to put it all together, to take, you know, these molecules and make something out of them, to make electrons, protons, and neutrons into elements, you know, and different kinds of elements with different arrangements of those things. How did he figure it out? I do not know, but the foolishness of God is wiser than men, you know. Isn't it? And the weakness of God stronger than men. What a wonderful thing. Our God is amazing. Look at verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Wow. He's made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. What a tremendous thing that is. Look at Romans, please. Romans chapter 3. This is reproof, by the way, for Romans. Corinthians reproves practical error. Romans chapter 3. Look at verse 21. It says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." Even the righteousness of God, which is by the believing of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that do what?
Believe.
For there is no difference. There's no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. Everyone that believes is going to receive the righteousness of God. And God set this up on such strong legal grounds that you can't miss. You know, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, born again. Verse 23, this is very humbling. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, if you think you haven't sinned, you know, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But then right after that, what does it say? Being justified. Yes, freely. Being justified freely. So our justification is a matter of being. It's what we are. God, by his wisdom, set it up so that we could be justified, that we have a new state of being, you know, being justified. We are justified. We are justified by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And this redemption is where Jesus Christ paid for what we got. You know, it's free to us, but it cost God everything. It cost Jesus Christ his life, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, a payment. It's the word mercy seat, which is a payment through believing in his blood to declare his righteousness, not my righteousness, his righteousness, for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. God is forbearing this because Jesus Christ paid the price for it. This is preaching, folks. That's what we do. We preach, we teach, we share God's word. Look at verse 27. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? The of works? Nay, but by the law of what? Believing. The law of believing. Keep your finger here or a marker or something, and let's go to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. We always look at this during the Passover time, and you know, when we look at Jesus Christ laying down his life for us, and when we do communion, we look at this verse. But in chapter 53 of Isaiah, it says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs, our sicknesses, and carried our sorrows, our pains. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." Who is this speaking about? It's speaking about Jesus Christ being crucified, Jesus Christ laying down his life. And it wasn't just that he was crucified. He was beaten up long before that. I mean, not a whole lot, a couple days. But, you know, he was beaten with whips and, you know, all kinds of stuff. I mean, he had it rough before they ever took him to the cross. You know, surely he hath borne our griefs, our sicknesses, and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Look at the wisdom of God in what was being accomplished by Jesus Christ willingly laying down his life for us. But he was wounded for his transgressions. No. Jesus Christ is the only man that ever lived that never sinned. Amazing. I mean, that in itself. But then for him who deserved none of this, for him to willingly lay down his life for us is just amazing. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. You know, transgressions are outward sins, okay? A wound sheds blood. So it sheds blood outwardly. So our outward sins are covered by the shedding of blood outwardly. Okay, he was bruised for our iniquities. Iniquities are like stuff you do in your mind. You know, well, a bruise is bleeding inside the body. You know, the shedding of his blood covered our transgressions, our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. You know why? We have the right to peace. We have the right to have peace because Jesus Christ took all of that ridicule, all of that other stuff that was thrown at him. Oh, you saved others. Why don't you save yourself? You know, all these other things, all these accusations against him and everything else. He took all of that stuff so we can have peace. Peace. And with his stripes, we are healed. You know, by his stripes, we are healed. Just really something. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He carried our sins. He carried our sorrows. He carried our griefs. He carried our sicknesses. He carried the chastisement against us. What a Savior, and what wisdom from God. We couldn't save ourselves. God had to provide something that would allow us to be saved. That's really wonderful. Okay, back to Romans. Back to Romans. Chapter 5. Verse 15. Is that what I want? That's 4:15. There's 5:15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, Adam, this goes all the way back. Everything that Adam lost, Jesus Christ regained. Everything that Adam broke, Jesus Christ repaired. Man was originally body, soul, and spirit. God told Adam, don't eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In the day you do, you'll surely die. But, you know, he lived on. What was it, 100, 900 and some years or something? I forget. I used to know. But, you know, over 900 years. And, you know, but he lived, but he didn't live the way God intended for him to live. Mankind was body, soul, and spirit. The body and soul part of man lived on. This is something that is so misunderstood and not known, and it's the wisdom of God that is wiser than men in this. He knows what, you know, how man works and everything else. And so man, what died of Adam was he lost spirit. The loss of life is death. He lost spirit. For if through the offense of one many be dead, after Adam, all of his prodigy, which is all of us, were born only body and soul, not body, soul, and spirit. Jesus Christ came to make spirit available once again. Remember, he said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The more than abundant life is in the spirit category. And we, as three-part beings, can utilize our physical body parts. You know, we can utilize our soul parts, you know, like our mind and our feelings and our, you know, whatever else, you know, breath life. But we also have something else that supersedes them all, and that is spirit. God in Christ in us, the hope of glory. This spirit on the inside gives us a source of power that allows us to operate nine manifestations, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, believing, miracles, and healing. These are powers that body and soul folks just simply don't have. We can speak in tongues. That's worshiping God perfectly. We can speak in tongues. That's perfect prayer and praise to God. We can speak in tongues. That builds us up spiritually. And there's some other things that speaking in tongues does. Today we had interpretation and prophecy. Those are messages directly from God. God, to this group at this moment in time, and those on the phone, those on the go to meeting, you know, those things were instruction for this moment in time from who?
God.
From God. From whom, I guess? From God. Man, oh man. The wisdom of God. God's wisdom in making this available in this manner. Verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, and that's talking about the death of spirit, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. And that reigning in life is by spiritual life, the life that we get with the gift of Holy Spirit. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation. All men were born under the condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, Jesus Christ, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life, that we are justified in once again being body, soul, and spirit. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made what?
Righteous.
The wisdom of God. We did not have it in ourselves to become righteous. We did not have it in ourselves to be able to get spirit. We couldn't put together a committee, go up to God, we know Adam messed up. We know we lost spirit. Please give us spirit back. No, it had to be acquired. It had to be paid for. It had to be based on accomplishments of someone that did not deserve what he got. He did, you know, consequence of breaking the law is death. Jesus Christ broke no laws, and yet he died. He laid down his life as someone innocent for the guilty, us. Isn't that, it's just awesome how wonderful God is. The wisdom of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Okay. This is so wonderful. I don't know where to stop sometimes in reading in these sections, but I've got to because, you know, we want to get home for lunch, for Sunday dinner. Look at Romans 8. Romans 8. Self-condemnation and sin consciousness ruins more Christians' walk with God than anything else, those two things. But Jesus Christ paid for us to be righteous. Jesus Christ paid for us that we're no longer under condemnation, right? That's why this Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. You're in Christ Jesus when you're born again of God's Spirit. You're in the body of Christ. You're in Christ Jesus. The rest of this verse is omitted in many of the texts, Greek and Aramaic. It is included further down, and we'll get to that. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. The wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. Isn't that something? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, having that gift of Holy Spirit on the inside, having the accomplishments of Jesus Christ, what he accomplished by the cross, what he accomplished by his sacrifice, laying down his life. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death came about when man became body and soul. He did not have the capacity or the connection with God any longer. God had to come into concretion for man to experience him because man was only body and soul. Then God was able on certain people to place Spirit upon them. Like when God introduced himself to Moses, it was a burning bush. Look at that bush. It's burning, but it's not being consumed. That's odd. You know. So he looked at it and he thought about it, and pretty soon then God spoke to him out of that burning bush. God got his attention, and God could speak to him. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. You know what? We have spiritual receptivity. We have Spirit on the inside. God can communicate with us, and doesn't he? I don't know how he communicates with all of us, but he does. You know, if we sat here and listened to people on the hookup and talked among ourselves, yeah, God told me so-and-so, such-and-such, you know. Not that we go around bragging about it, but all of us have heard from God. You know, God speaks to us because we've got Spirit. We can communicate to him. Now, all the power that man can muster, he cannot speak to God unless God puts Spirit on the inside. The wisdom of God, the power of God. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. So now sin is condemned and we're under no condemnation. We're justified, righteousness of God, sanctified, set apart from the commonplace and ordinary. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled. Thank you, Ron. I thought you might say that. The righteousness of the law might be fulfilled. Fulfilled. In us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There you go. That's where that goes. How do we walk after the Spirit? We walk according to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We walk without condemnation. We walk being righteous. We walk, having a connection with God. We walk according to God's word, which is spiritual information. We put in our minds and we walk according to that spiritual information. What a wonderful thing that God has set up and made available for us. Look, we're here in Romans 8. Let's just go to the part we all love the most, verse 31. Verse 31, it says, "What shall we then say to these things?" And if you want to see what these things are, you can read it on your own. "If God be for us, who can be against us?" Okay, now think of that in your life, in your business, when you're driving your car, whatever you're doing, doggone it, God is for you. God is on your side. Well, it's really not a good way to say it. We are on God's side. Because we're on God's side, God's on our side. We choose to be on God's side, the creator of the universe. When we're in fellowship with God, God on our side. Are we on God's side? However it should be said. I think it's that we're on God's side. Yeah, we're on the same side. God in Christ in us makes us more than conquerors. We're going to read that. Getting ahead of myself. You know, how wonderful that is. How wonderful that is. "Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified." And that predestinate means that to choose beforehand. He made it possible. He reserved a place for us so that when we believed, we would be able to be part of it all. "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Didn't even spare a son for us. "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justified." You know, God isn't going to make any charges against us. God's the one that justified us. "Who is he that condemneth? Shall Christ that died, is Christ going to condemn us? He died so we wouldn't be condemned. He's not going to turn around and condemn us. Yea, rather, that is risen again. He died, risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." He makes intercession for us. "Who shall separate, or who or what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation?" No. "Or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword." Remember, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. All these things would tend to make someone unpeaceful. But we can be peaceful because Jesus Christ took the rap for us in every category of life. As it is written, "For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." You always have to read it that way. I don't know. At least I do. Verse 37, nay, "in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." We are more than a conqueror over tribulation. We are more than a conqueror over distress. We are more than a conqueror over persecution. We are more than a conqueror over famine. We are more than a conqueror over nakedness, peril, and sword. We're more than a conqueror. If you're a conqueror, you win. If you're more than a conqueror, you win by a lot. You know, God made sure that we win by a lot. We need to carry ourselves recognizing who we have become in Christ. We need to walk in thankfulness and communication with our Heavenly Father. For I am persuaded, and this is, you know, this is God's word. Paul is writing this, but I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God so loved that he gave. Jesus Christ so loved that we gave. This gives us the capacity to love. Remember, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We can share that love of God. We have the ability to communicate with God. We have the ability to hear from God. You know, God has made us more than conquerors. And what a privilege it is for us to be able to be alive at this time, to be part of the body of Christ. And so let's live the peace. Let's live the joy. Let's live what God has made us to become in Christ. Let's live without fear, condemnation. You know, let's live what Jesus Christ has made available, what God has made available by way of Jesus Christ. He wants us to. Heavenly Father, again, we're so thankful for and just in awe of what you've done for us and how your wisdom goes beyond anything man can come up with in any category, and your weakness is stronger than anything that mankind or men can come up against us with. Just how terrific it is that you have made us to become more than conquerors, and you've given us so much. We're thankful for all the things that you've made available in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.